Presenters with us today, Michael and Mandy, and their two daughters, Stella and Cammy. Stella informed me this afternoon that she can count to 100 by ones. And so she's going to teach me after church tonight how to do that. All right. Come and share with us.
Up there. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming back. I had a joy sharing this morning. I was a little bit upset, Pastor Hauser, I have to say this. I preach in a church in Illinois, and I guess every church that I preach, they put a clock in here, so I guess the pastor stays with the program, right? In this church, every time I preached that, the clock was broke. And so I had to keep with the schedule, so I was a little bit frustrated about that. No, I'm just kidding. And by the way, Mike, where are you? You look great on that shirt. I didn't say anything to him, but I think he read my mind, so I appreciate that. Hey, my wife and I, we talked a lot about this, and I don't even know if I know how to express this in a way that you can understand, because I don't think I truly understand exactly the goodness of God in my life, and but I just wanted to say that I do appreciate your partnership with our family. As I look back in the relationship that I had a chance to develop with that missionary that I share with you, and I'll just show you guys a picture of him tonight, I realize that a lot of people sacrificed for him to become a missionary. And I have learned to appreciate the sacrifice that many of you have made so that our family can do the things that we believe God has called us to do. And so, from the bottom of my heart, as a brother in Christ, I just wanted to say thank you. And Pastor Hauser, for your leadership with the pastoral team here as well, just thank you. So I want to do something different, okay? Usually you teach us, so can we just give them a hand? Can we just... So, we're going to try to do this really quick. Quick might be slower for you than it is for me, but... we'll try to open up for some questions at the end, but we just want to go through. We've been back in the States for about 2 years now, and it's been our privilege just to raise support and do some things, but we'll share some of those things with you and share some of the things that the Lord has actually placed in our hearts. We are the Venter family. I don't have a prayer card in here, but if you haven't received one for my daughter this morning, which, by the way, we looked at the stack, it was like that big, and when we looked, there was this much left. I think she gave a prayer card to every single person in this church, so... great advertisement. But if you haven't got one yet, we have some on our table in the back. We would love to talk to you some more. We are the Venter. This is a picture very special to me. This is the guy that I thought was really old, and I mentioned that to you earlier. He's been a father figure to me. He was in our wedding. He married Mandy and I together with somebody, a couple that's really special to my wife, and it's become a special couple to us that she's going to introduce to you in just a second. But this is a picture that's from an article that I had the privilege to write about how a Coke really impacted my life through sports ministries. How an old guy with a can of Coke impacted me with the gospel. So just take a look in the back. I only have one magazine left, but it's on the ABWE website. So if you want to read some more, you can. I'll let my wife go forward from here.
You guys hear me okay? Okay. Stella would like to share something with you. So first I'm going to let her introduce herself, and then she'd like to share something.
Say hi. Hi, I'm Stella.
How old are you?
I'm 4.
Are you excited to say hello? What do you want to say tonight?
I'm going to say Psalm 23 tonight.
All right. So come over here. Make sure you do all the actions and all the things. Look up, look at the picture of mommy up there and say it. There you go.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil when you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I prepare a table before me and the princes and the presidents of my enemy. Even though I anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we didn't have a chance and the privilege to grow up in a Christian family. And now we have the privilege to actually teach our kids in a way that I think it's honoring to the Lord. And she was excited to come here and share with you. And so she knows more Bible than I knew at that age. And we praise the Lord for that. But
I was born in Newport News, Virginia. I didn't really grow up in a Christian family. So it was difficult for me to adjust to the culture of church. My parents got divorced when I was young. I was 11 years old. And I'm one of four kids in our family. My dad started going to Denby Baptist Church in Newport News, Virginia when I was 14. One day, after I'd been going for a few months, a lady named Peg Perry approached me and asked me if I'd like to study the Bible. And I agreed. And of course, I didn't really know what she had in store for me. So every Sunday morning, we would meet for about an hour during the Sunday school hour, and she would teach me different verses from the Bible about sin and salvation and what my future was going to look like. And eventually, after a year of discipleship with her, I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 14 years old. Growing up in my family was tough. There was a lot of difficulties for different reasons related to my parents' divorce. But I know now, looking back, that God had a very gracious way of taking care of me. That discipleship has really been the key to how the Lord has put His Word in our hearts. So when I was about 18 years old, I really hadn't had a lot of change in my life. The Lord had saved me. I knew that I would go to heaven if I died. But I had the same friends and the same background going on at home. I just started going to college, and that year the Lord really turned my life upside down. My youth pastor at our church and his wife started discipling me. She just dedicated her life to me. She taught me how to cook. She taught me how to relate to a husband. She taught me a lot of things about life. And really, it was not apparent to me at the time, but I see now that God was preparing me for my future. Met with my pastor's wife that I wanted to have a life like her and I wanted to have a family like hers, and so I'm so thankful for the way that she dedicated her time to me. And to this day, she's a mentor and I call her a second mom, and that really plays into our ministry. We're thankful that the Lord was able to lead us back to Brazil, where Mike was from. When we were in Brazil, a lot of my time spent in the ministry was discipling women and young ladies one-on-one. And other times it was just Friday night cookies, pictures coming up of our youth group. A lot of those kids were in our house multiple times a week eating homemade pizza or cookies, and we were just doing life on life, and that's a lot of what our ministry is about. So we're really excited to get back to Brazil to continue church planting in this new location we're going to be in, Santa Cruz do Sul. I was able to go through school the first time that we were there, and so I miss all my friends and even my family in Brazil that speaks Portuguese. Stella's still working on her Portuguese since that was her first language. Now we have two homes. So we have a home in the USA and we have a home in Brazil. So thank you for inviting us to share our ministry with you. Appreciate your prayers for the upcoming arrival of our new daughter. Hope you have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll get to see you soon. I was born in Newport News, Virginia. I didn't really grow up in...
I apologize. If you thought that I was speaking Portuguese and you were hearing English because the mouth and the sound wasn't matched up, you would be wrong. But I was kind of confused by that, too. I'm sorry the video didn't quite work out. But you guys could hear the story, right? Well, this is really special for me because I want to introduce someone to you. They're all the way in the back row with my daughter, Cammie. So if you guys don't mind, will you stand up? This is Chuck and Pat Newman. They were in the video. This is my pastor and his wife, Pat, and she's my second mom, and that's my second dad. And they surprised us tonight. They live an hour north in Ithaca. They work with a ministry called Second Wind, building little one-room homes for homeless people that are in Ithaca right now. And there's just an epidemic going on. If you've heard anything about it in the papers or anything, you might know about that. Anyways, they have impacted our lives by what they did for me when I was a teenager. And as you can tell, I said in the video, you know, she dedicated her life to me, and she obviously still does that to this day because she's here. So that's really special for us, and glad that you guys could see them and meet them. So,
hey, if you get a prayer card on the back, there's a, let me go back here, and I think you can see it if I can do that. And I'll use the clicker. Right here, there's a quick website. The next page is actually our website. So if you go up and you click in the venterfamily.org, there's a newsletter sign up. You can click on it, put your first name, last name, email, and every month we try to get in contact with you. We've done that for a few years. It's been a really easy way of you trying to figure out and get connected with us and knowing exactly how you can be praying for us and just being part of our ministry. One of the things that the Lord was actually allowed us to do in Brazil was to be part of a church planning team. And we truly enjoy that. We worked with a church named Hope Baptist Church in the capital city of the state where I grew up, in Porto Alegre. And it was a blessing. The church is going. I have a few pictures for you. But this is a church that we hope to partner with. The partnership is under conversation since 2015. And when we go back to Brazil November 13th, we're going to probably travel 2 hours west of Porto Alegre, and we're going to partner with this church just with the idea of multiplying and planting other churches and training leaders in the area. This is just a picture of a service they had last year. Our goal is to do church planning and to also do leadership training. This is an ordination service that took place in that church. This church has been very missional and very church plant oriented. And so they've been trying to raise their own leaders and allowing those leaders to be used in the ministry around the area, which is very German. About 750,000 people live in that area. Spiritism is very high. It's higher than Christianity, where I grew up, less than 2% evangelical. So when you see somebody being trained and being ordained to become a pastor, it's a reason to celebrate. And we want to be involved with that. Here's just a very special picture, I guess, from my wife. She sat in the video, and you guys heard, she was involved with multiple Bible studies. This is special because one of the things that you don't know, because usually when I come here, I probably do most of the speaking and the talking, but my wife prayed a lot that the Lord would also raise leaders from within our church to actually be able to lead other women's ministries. And this picture was special because my wife started this group at this lady's house right here. Her name was Mari, the lady all the way on the right, I guess, all right. And Mari said that she didn't feel led to actually do the ministry. She didn't feel called to do it, and she didn't feel capable of doing. And so this is a picture that was sent, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, right after we came back to the States. And Mari sent this picture to my wife saying, "Mandy, we were still meeting. And guess who's leading? Mari." So it is a blessing for us to be able to see that the ministry actually doesn't hang on Michael and Mandy. To see that the Lord's actually providing leadership and providing capable people to be able to carry the work of the ministry. And just like I had a privilege to talk to you this morning about, Paul praises the church in Philippians chapter 1 for the work that the Lord has been doing in their lives and for their partnership in the gospel. And that's why Philippians 1, 9 through 11, he has this amazing prayer that the love of God will abound more and more in them because he has seen the work of God in their lives and the way that they actually minister to the people around them. So this is our goal. Another thing that I've done, and you've heard my story, I wasn't a soccer crazy growing up, but I still love soccer. I was a sports junkie, if you allow me to use that terminology. And I love sports, and that was one of the idols that actually the Lord used in my life to bring me to himself. I told you this morning I walked 4 miles on a Saturday morning just to hear this American guy do some basketball lessons and then do a quick devotional and just be able to hang out with him. And I was willing to do that because the gospel was being used through basketball to actually bring me to conviction of Jesus. And so we've done this. This is a picture of our youth group from our sending church in Virginia. They came down and they helped us with a little basketball clinics that we've done. And so when we go back, it just so happened that the city where we're going to be working with this church was in the 90s, a very powerful city in terms of basketball. They actually won the national title one time, and then since then basketball has declined, but there is a basketball passion in the city. And so we hope to use that for the Lord, and we hope to be able just to use their idols in their lives to be able to bring them to conviction because of the gospel. So very special picture for me.
So I think you've heard along the times that we've been here that we're in church planting, and a lot of times people say, so are you guys going to build a church? And the short answer is no, because the question you're probably thinking is, are we going to build a building? And no, we haven't done that, and we don't plan to do that. So for us, church planting takes different forms. And one of those ministries that you're seeing here, we called Chat and Coffee. And so one of the things that I did once a month in our apartment complex, after we'd lived there about a year, we noticed down in the bottom of the five towers where there was 200 apartments in each tower. So we had about 3,000 neighbors on one square block. So down in the bottom of the towers, there were what's called a party room. And you could rent it out for a small cost. And it was a large enough space to entertain maybe 100 people. And so once a month, we would rent those out, and I would put little flyers in the elevator that you see right here that says Chat and Coffee, and it explains in Portuguese, if you want to practice your English and you'd like a cup of espresso, come on over, and here's the topic we're going to talk about. We probably saw each month 20 to 40 people come down to those events. A lot of times, they would come in kind of like quietly. They didn't want you to try to like just rattle off all your English to them. And once they knew we spoke Portuguese, it was like a little bit of like, oh, okay, so I can get to know you. Once they got to know us, it was a chance for us to share the gospel with them. Maybe not directly, but like Michael talked about this morning, you know, we try to live our lives in front of them in a way that would make them ask questions. And, you know, these types of ministries are relationship-oriented. It takes sometimes years. Pastor Dan, the man that led Michael to the Lord, he spoke at Michael's ordination service in May. And I always hear a little bit more of the story each time I get to talk to Pastor Dan. And he says, Michael, he was a hard Brazilian. It takes 7 years of sharing the gospel with somebody, really, in southern Brazil to see a difference. He's like, I think Michael took a little bit longer than that, even though you only hear about the 3 years of getting together and having a cup of Coke and playing basketball. These types of ministries are how we can get our foot in the door, so to speak, or get them into our house for coffee or pizza or cookies or whatever. So that was something we really enjoyed doing, and that's also a way that we can bring some of our friends and church youth groups down speaking English, and we can offer these types of events that is really exciting for everyone. So that's something that we did.
It's fascinating, too, that most of the people that you see in, besides the picture on the bottom, but the people that you see on the top picture right there are people that will never come to the church. They will never set their foot inside of this building. But they will come because they want to learn the language. They want to get a better job. And because you use that to present the gospel, you create venues in which the gospel can be explained and hopefully cause an impact in their lives.
So I think the last time you saw us was 2 years ago. We had just gotten back from Brazil, and you probably remember, but I can remind you that we came back after a short term that ended up being a long term. So we were there for almost 4 years, which is considered one term of missionary service. And so in 2015, we came back. Stella was two. And we began the transition from short-term to long-term. So we had a ton of training. We had to raise more support. We also got involved with recruitment, which was a highlight for us. So we had three major trainings, which were each about 2 weeks, 1.5 to 2 weeks long in Pennsylvania. They were very grueling weeks. Our children were sick, and it was just sometimes very hard for both of us to be in a training for 10 or 12 hours a day, and your kid's in childcare, and you're not home. So anyways, it has taken us 2 years to do those types of trainings. We've been visiting churches. Michael mentioned we've been on the road for 70,000 miles, so a lot of car trips. And I still don't have it figured out. Like, I don't know how that's possible, that I can't have it down to a T. So I feel led by the Spirit to share a story, but it's really funny. So I'll tell you this funny story. You'll enjoy it. And I was being facetious about the Spirit, but I still want to tell you the story. So we were in a car trip, and Cammie's a baby. Babies don't travel well in the car for more than like 3 hours. Well, we were going from Virginia back to Indiana, and that can be an 11-hour car trip for most people. But for our family, it could take like 15 hours. So we thought, okay, we're going to make this a lot shorter, and we're going to drive through the night. We did that with Stella when she was small. So we got in the car at their bedtime. We drive through the night. Has anyone ever done this with kids? I'm interested. How many know where this is going? Okay. So we're driving through the night, and it gets to 4 o'clock in the morning, and I can never sleep in the car because I'm always worried that Michael might go off the road. So I finally said, you know what? I think I'm going to take a little nap. He's like, okay, enjoy it. I fell asleep, and for whatever reason, I honestly have no idea. My eyes opened, and I looked at Stella, and she started to vomit. So I reached, I took my seat off, I turn around, and I catch every drop in my hands.
It wasn't much, as you can tell.
And I'm like, roll the window down. So he rolls it down, I toss it out the window, I wipe my hands off, and I'm like, am I super mom or what? Like, how did I even know this was going to happen? So I wash my hands off, and she throws up and goes back to sleep. I was like, okay, if that's all we deal with, that's fine. 2 hours later, we stopped, and so we've been driving about 9 hours. We have 3 more hours to go, and we're like in the home stretch. We stop at a truck stop, and I say to him, okay, the girls are asleep. I'm going to go in and use the restroom. I'll be right back. I come out, and Michael's like eating a quesadilla, and I notice that he does like one of these, and it like hits his cheek as he in slow motion turns around, and Stella is actively like convulsing and throwing up, and there's no way you could even catch any of this. It was everywhere. So she throws up on Cammie. Cammie wakes up. She's crying. So we get up. We go inside wrapped in a blanket so nobody can see it, but they can all smell it, you know. And I say to the man at the counter, I say, how do those showers work? And he looks at me for a long time, and he says, you pay $7.50 and I give you the key. I was like, okay, I need to give my daughter a shower. Stella thinks it's awesome. She's in there just like, wow, mommy, I didn't know you could take a shower at a gas station. I'm like, I didn't either. All of that to say, that has probably been one of our worst car trips. It makes for a fun story, but in those last 3 hours, I texted everybody I knew, my parents, our family, and I said, please pray for us. We are never going to make it home. This has not been a shorter trip by any means. So that's what we've been doing for 2 years. If you're interested in being a missionary, come and talk to us afterwards. We'll be right back here at the table.
So there's two things we learned from this trip. It's time to give the van back to my father-in-law because it smells bad. No, I'm just kidding.
So anyways...
And the second lesson was... It's a lot easier to be a missionary in Tawanda where you don't have to do that. So,
the recruitment part, I don't know if this is on the next slide, but I want to talk to you about a girl named Megan. In March, we took a survey trip, and we took 4 students with us that were interested in missions. We've been attending all these college mission weeks at Liberty University, at Clark Summit, up in Indiana. Michael went to a few by himself when I was still pregnant, and we've been making contacts with students who think they want to be missionaries. And why is that? Well, you know, when we were in Brazil, we found out that the staff of missionaries that we were working with would be diminished by 50% in 10 years, all due to retirement. So we were looking around the room, and there was one family with children Stella's age, and we realized we're going to be here alone. And it really got us thinking, why is that happening? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. But what it did for us as we began praying about that need is it really prompted us to get involved with that need. And so we began talking to students about going on missions trips and becoming missionaries anywhere in the world. But really, we've had the privilege of talking to many people about Brazil and the needs that we have on our team. We've been praying for 2 interns and 2 families to join us. And so Megan came over on this trip. She was a graduate of Liberty working on her master's and just interested in kind of seeing the world and praying for us as missionaries. And when she got done with the trip, she came to us and she said, I came here to find out how I could maybe partner with you and learn more about your ministry, and I think God wants me to be a missionary. And we're like, woo, that's awesome. So Megan is in candidate school at ABWE. She's going to be joining our team. She just took her second trip to Brazil, and that's a huge answer to prayer. If you have been reading our newsletters, you know sporadically that's been on our prayer list, two families and two interns. Last week, I said, Michael, who is going to uproot their family and moved to Brazil to be a missionary? And there was a couple that drove into over to our house. They have three grown children, all in college or out of college, and they said, pray for us. I found out that I am going to qualify for an early retirement program, and I still have to work because I can't retire at this point, but I strongly feel that we want to work in Brazil with you guys and another couple that they know as missionaries. And I thought, oh my goodness, God is in the business of answering prayer. So please keep praying for that. Our team is small, the ministry is difficult, and there's times that families come down, individuals come down, and you know what? They have to come home, and that's okay. But we definitely have plenty to do, so keep praying for us.
So we told you we had the privilege to work at a church in Porto Alegre, which is the capital of the state, Hope Baptist Church, and this is just to give you an idea why this is exciting for us, because I used to hear missionaries say, you know, if you do your work well, then you're going to be out of a job. And I thought, that's just weird. I mean, you don't work to get yourself, you know, out of a job. You work hard to be able to get, you know, promotion and everything else. But these two pictures are very significant to us. The picture on the left here is a picture that was taken by a good friend of mine, Gustavo. This is the first deacon meeting of our church. 2016, the church finally finalized all the process. We have a group of guys. And if you look at them, there's some very young men in this picture. And they're all great theologians. They're great godly men. And the Lord has brought up a generation that has a tremendous amount of potential. The picture on the right is a guy named Micah. He was our intern when we got there. He was an intern for about 5 years. Great communicator, great pastor. And this was his ordination ceremony at the church. He's now the Brazilian pastor. The missionaries have taken their hands off the ministry, and now he's actually leading that. He's the main pastor of the church. And so the Lord's doing something amazing. Why is that amazing? Okay. Because you're thinking, well, what's so special about that? I mean, we have that in every single city that we work here. Well, that doesn't happen in southern Brazil. There's just, last year, there was a number that came out of 65,000 locations, homes, and worship temples of people in southern Brazil, in the southernmost state of Brazil, who practice open spiritism. Now, let me give you just an idea. There's 2% evangelicals out of 11 million people, which is about 220,000 people. I have never seen in any place that I've been to a spiritist place that worship the spirit with less than 10 to 12 individuals in each one of those. So if you do the math, Christianity is a really small minority. And so they need the gospel and they need that church. And that's why it's exciting what the Lord's actually doing. Here's just some of our next steps. When we come back, we're going to move to a city named Santa Cruz do Sul, which is 2 hours west of Porto Alegre. We're still going to do sports ministries, evangelism, discipleship. And I've been working for the last 2 years since I got back to the States. And we call an online seminary, but it's actually just a church planning project where we can do leadership training inside of the church. So one of the difficulties that we faced in the ministry in southern Brazil was that a lot of times, because we don't have good seminaries, we have guys that leave the state to go to different places like São Paulo, or even like guys like me who come to the States. What we have noticed in the past was that people don't go back. Why is that? Because there's potential in those lives. And when they find churches that have the ability to provide for them financially, they usually think, why am I going to go back? I need to support my family. I'm married, or I got married, and my wife's from here. So we had a massive exodus of people actually from southern Brazil who came to know the Lord and went out to do training and never came back. The other negative part is, which could also be seen as a possibility, was that we have a really bad reputation in Brazil. We're known as the graveyard of pastors. which means that even when somebody comes outside as a pastor, outside of the state, or a missionary, they come down to work, they usually leave the ministry after that, or the church in which they were working at closes, because it is a very difficult field. It takes a lot of time to develop relationships. So what the Lord has done in those pictures I just showed you about the church that we worked at was a miracle. And we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. And we just wanted to make sure you understand that, because that is something fascinating. So the goal is to train pastors so they can train their own people, or us coming in and doing the training to the pastoral team so the pastoral team can continue to build on the things that the Lord is doing.
So this is a map, just so some of you might be able to see. Out on our table, we have a picture if you want to look at it closer. But a lot of times, I'm not very good with geography. Some people share this in common with me. We don't realize how big Brazil is. And so if you don't count Alaska, Brazil is larger as a country than the United States. And all the way at the southern tip, so we border Argentina and Uruguay, that's the state that we're working in. So if you look at the world and the equator, the 1040 window is something that they've determined. The 1040 window is where we grow coffee. The 1040 window is where there's a lot of poverty. It's a desert, right? And the 1040 window is where we have focused in the last couple of decades on missions. Because of that, southern Brazil has become overlooked. But we get to talk about southern Brazil and remind people this is its own 1040 window, not because of where it's located, but because of the fact that it's overlooked. With Brazil being evangelized in the northern parts, people think, oh, Brazil has missionaries. But that's like saying Tawanda has missionaries, so we're going to forget about California, because that's the expanse of distance that we're talking about. So it's almost like a completely different country in a sense. In fact, there was a civil war at one time that the state wanted to become their own country and separate from Brazil. It's a different culture, and so in some ways, we like to show the map just so you can see. We were working in Porto Alegre, which is all the way on the coast. It's the little red square, and now we're going 2 hours inland when there's a star. And if you know anything about developing countries, then you do know that majority of the people are going to be around the capital city. And that's where there's going to be the most resources and potential. Now, if you go inland, there's less people. There, if you go a little bit more inland than where we're going, there are Indians. There are tribes that literally don't even speak necessarily just Portuguese. So we're going to a much less developed area, but it's not, and by any means, it's not underdeveloped. It's just not the capital. So we're not going to see all of the influence that people bring from other parts of the world, not as much. In fact, where we're going is known as a German town. Michael mentioned basketball. Why do they play basketball there? Because there's a lot of Germans that settled there, which makes the difference between poverty and rich even greater than the most of Brazil. There really isn't a middle class. But there are very wealthy German heritage people living in this place. They still speak German. So I lived in Germany for a time, and I took German, and so I've been doing classes again, brushing up on it, because I truly believe there's going to be a chance for me to be able to talk to people in just German, not Portuguese. I did a Bible study with two German ladies. We bought our vehicle from a German woman in Brazil. So we're going to a German town, and so back to the basketball. Why is there basketball? Because Germans are traditionally like this. They're tall, and they don't look like Brazilians, like me, short and dark hair. And I'm not Brazilian. So, and he's not American, but we get asked that a lot. And no one ever asks me how tall I am. I don't know why. They always ask him.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'6". With heels on. So our survey trip in March, we mentioned. Megan has short hair. She's in the back row. She's going to be joining our team. These were some of the other interns that came down to visit. A fantastic group of people. The other picture is the first coat of primer going on a building with our colleagues, Randy Richner. Randy is the son of Dan Richner. Dan Richner is in his 70s and led Michael to the Lord. Randy works about 2 hours from where we'll be. He grew up in Brazil. His parents were missionaries. He's a third-generation missionary because his dad, Willard Stull, was a missionary in Brazil for 75 years. He died at the age of 94. So these guys, they have a little bit of a legacy, and it's a privilege to work with them. This building, Randy built right next door to the city's new sports complex. And the mayor said to Randy, listen, if you'll take care of it and you'll clean it, You can use it whenever you want for whatever you want. So he has a church built right next door to the sports condominium that he can do basketball clinics. He can do whatever he wants. And this building, we got to put the first coat of primer on it. And so this has been a church plant for almost a decade. And it's run all by Brazilians now. Randy is moving out and starting a new church plant. So it was a privilege for us to be able to see that and be involved in that. Finally, on our survey trip, we did a training called Boa Terra. Anybody speak Spanish? Any Spanish speakers? Okay, so we're going to learn today some Portuguese. Everyone say, Boa Terra. Very good. That means good soil. Okay? Good soil is a resource ABW put out. It's now in Portuguese. It's a great translation, and you'll see a little excerpt of it on the back table in the cards. I saw some kids using them, and I was really glad that you did. We use kid-friendly materials with adults. It's fantastic. They love it. I was discipling a girl here in the United States. She grew up in a Christian home, and I laid out these cards with the Old Testament stories, and she's like, wow, I can't believe I can remember all this. That's what Boa Terra is. That's teaching Brazilians how to share the gospel in a way that's easy to remember and that they can reproduce, and it's already in their language. So that's something that we've been doing, too, is working with lay leaders and some of the small church plants around.
Well, just some prayer requests. I think, do we still have some T-shirts in the back?
We have probably about 10 or 15.
All right, so if you're interested in some of the T-shirts, just come over and talk to us. But here's just some prayer requests, and I just said that because I saw Stella with the picture in here. But just some prayer requests. Just, you know, sign up for our newsletters. Just be involved in our ministry. We usually think about missions and giving in terms of finances, but I think sometimes we forget the power of prayer. I just want to challenge you. Don't forget that. I told you this morning I got to sit down across the table from the guy who led me to the Lord, and he said, keep things simple. And one of the things he also told me is this, Michael, don't get to the end of your life saying, I wish I had asked for more. So I want you to think about that, because God is an abundant God who loves us tremendously, who gave us the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. And so, can we all agree that we can ask God for more? That's not going to hurt him, especially if it's related to his mission. So sign up. We're moving to Brazil November 13th. We got our tickets. It's going to be a long move. We have some luggage complications. Usually the easiest and the cheapest way of getting your luggage overseas is through just taking them to the airport and paying the extra fees. There's some limitations right now. The companies are not allowing you to take as much anymore. Not only that, it used to cost us $75 an extra bag. Now some companies have raised the price to about $200 a bag. So now we have to weigh in to see if what we have is actually worth the $200, which is a good thing. So just pray for us that we'll have wisdom in this process as well. Can I use the word hate in this? I hate doing that. That's the hardest thing for me. And the Lord has been teaching me that if he wants me to do it, then the things that I hate are going to have to be the things that I have to leave behind. And that's going to be one thing. I do not like to walk across the airport carrying two suitcases in each arm and a stroller and two kids hanging on me because my wife walks. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a difficult process. And so would you just pray for us? We're not crying to you right now saying, oh, poor us. No, it's hard for the kids. And we want them to understand that we love them and we want to care for them, even though they will not understand that throughout this process. So just pray for us in that. We have some last-minute decisions we have to make. I'm still thinking and buying sports equipment and things like that for the basketball ministries and other things that I'm doing. And so just pray for wisdom and some personal stuff that, you know, we're going through as a family. We've been on the road a lot, and we're tired. We're looking forward to, going back, seeing Mandy's parents and hanging out with our family in Virginia and just seeing our sending church and just having some time just to be able to meditate on some of the great things the Lord has done for us in the last 2 years, which honestly, sometimes you just go by life and you don't realize how good the Lord has been. And I share with you this morning as well, it's not up here, but just my citizenship process. I'm completely done besides the swearing-in ceremony, and I'm still waiting for the date. And because of that, I'm going to have to drive back to Indiana. And that's another fun drive. where usually from 11 hours become 15, and some of the kids actually sometimes eat some things that their stomach doesn't like, and tragedy happens. I feel bad for my father-in-law, actually, but get a prayer card in the end when you walk out, and if you haven't got one for my daughter yet, and we just want to say thank you once again. We're humbled to be part of this. Like I said, we didn't grow up in a Christian family, and it's been an honor for us just to see how the Lord has been working, and you know, in our lives and the lives of those around us, and you have been a blessing to us. And I had to say this before, because I meant to say this in the beginning. Some of you send me a ladies' missionary fellowship. Some of you ladies send me a birthday gift. And I just want to say thank you personally. I did appreciate it. And if you want to know what I got, you can come over and talk to me at the end. But I promise you, I will be wearing that in a basketball court.
I don't know. I think that we're just about done. But did we want to open up for questions? Do we usually do that? Does anyone have any questions? No, we don't have a house, so a little bit of an idea of what we'll be doing. When we fly on November 13th, we'll stay a few days with our boss. He's a regional administrator in Brazil, and he lives in the city where we planted church, where we're familiar with that area. So we'll rent, we'll live with him, and while we're living with him, we are going to drive to where we want to live and look for a place to rent through Airbnb. You can rent someone's real house that has furniture and pots and pans. And we would like to rent a house for 1 month in the place we want to live. So then once we're there, we can go down to the rental agencies for apartments that are for rent, and then we can go and look at them. Because when we were there in March, we learned, you know, it's like this here too. If you're not ready at that moment, that rental is not going to be available, and you got to walk around in it and see the neighborhood. So it was really difficult for us without having the time to see where's the restaurant, where's the bank, where's the gas station, where we should live. So definitely pray for us. We're planning on about a 3-month process of getting down there, finding a place to live, finding a vehicle, opening up a bank account so we can do transactions, and unpacking our suitcases. Stella hopefully will be starting school in March. That's when their school year begins. And she is going to be homeschooled, but the first year that we're there especially, we want her to be in a Brazilian kindergarten so she can learn Portuguese again. So it'll be half a day. She'll start in March. And so we want to get there with enough time to, you know, talk to the school and get her enrolled. And everything takes so much more time. So we don't have a house. If you would pray, this is one of my not afraid to ask God for big things. I would love to have a house, because we used to live in an apartment, that has a space, like a living room, big enough to have more than 5 or 6 people in. It was always difficult because we wanted to do the ministry in our home and there was nowhere for them to be. And we also would like to have a bedroom that's available for when we have interns that want to come and do a month. Like Pat and Chuck are here. Their son Bobby came and lived with us in Brazil for 3 months. But he lived with our neighbor on the other block because we just have nowhere for them. We lived in a 500-square-feet apartment. I don't know if any of you know how small that is, but, I mean, there was my kitchen and there was my bedroom, and that was it. And it was great. It was perfect. But pray for us that we can find a home that's big enough to do the ministry, not just so I can have a big house, but we need to have a place to entertain people and a place to house people when they come from the States to stay, or when we have Brazilian guests from our old church plant 3 hours away stay for the night. So pray with me that we'll find the perfect space.
Anybody else? Yes, you can do that. But we do not suggest you doing that. Okay, and I'll tell you what really quick. The government is not very easy to work with. Mandy's mom sent her a pound of coffee, and a birthday card. And when the box got to Brazil, and the post office sent us a note, and we had to pay 50 reais, which was about $30, to get the package. Now she paid $7 for that coffee. So we had friends of ours that their parents sent, you know, just Oreos and stuff like that for the grandkids, and all of a sudden you're paying $150 for that. But the thing that I can say to you is it's easier for me to pack a suitcase full of stuff now and take and pay the $200 because I know that's all I'm going to pay for as I'm taking stuff out than to try to get the box from you in the mail. That's a great question. So
another idea is after we have this prayer request for a place to entertain overnight guests is you could come and visit us and maybe help us out for a couple weeks on a mission trip, and you could bring it in your suitcase.
That would be cheaper. You just got to pay your airfare, which is going to be $5,000. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's a great question. And people do that all the time. You know, they want to be kind to the missionaries, and we do appreciate that. But it is just, you never know, the government is just very corrupt, and they will charge you an arm and a leg, literally. Yeah, if you want to do something like that, if anyone want to help in any kind of situation for ministry, you don't send the money to us. It's just easier for us to be accountable to you. You can send the finances to our ABWE and just say, hey, this is for sports ministries, this is for whatever. And then out of that, we can use the money that's on that account. That way, it's tax deductible for you. I don't have to touch that, and we are accountable to each other before the Lord about the finances that you're giving to our family. Does that make sense? So that's what we usually tell people. If you feel like the Lord wants you to do that, then I can give you the information, and you can just go through ABWE. That way, it's easier for our family. But great question. Anybody else? We'll do the 30 second? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, once again, just thank you so much. And we do appreciate it. And I was afraid that we were not going to be able to come up here because of my citizenship and stuff. But I just praise the Lord for allowing us to be here with you. We wanted to be here. And we were excited just for all the emails that you've guys sent it to us through the last 2 years, just saying you're praying for us. And thank you. We stand here as a testimony of God's mission, and you do too. And so when we look at you, we realize God is at work. So we just want to say thank you. So you guys have a great evening, and we'll talk to you at the back.
Thank you, Michael and Mandy, for this update and just a report. Certainly gives us plenty to pray for as they head back to Brazil in just about another month now. Let me just give you a couple of announcements. We'll take an offering and have some prayer for the Venters. Just remember our outreaches over the next few weeks. The giveaway is this week, and we still need people to come and help. We're going to set that up in here, so we got to take these chairs down and set that all up in here. So throughout this week, help is needed in setting it up, and then on Saturday, taking all back down and getting this all set back up for Sunday. So a lot of hands are going to be needed this week in this giveaway, so we appreciate your help in that. And then we have our trunk or treat coming up on the 31st. That's the date for that, and again, if you can decorate your trunk, we'd appreciate that, but even if you don't decorate your trunk, we still need people here to help, and so